There are a number of you who are new here today, so I'm going to do a quick recap as much as possible. We have been looking for some time at a particular subject by way of exhortation, and it's a question that the Lord has asked us to ask. Why do we ask and not receive? Why do we ask and not receive? In Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7 to 11, Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7 through to verse 11, the Lord Jesus speaks to us, says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things, to those who ask him?" Looking at that scripture, you can see clearly that it is God's desire, his design, his intention to answer the prayers of his children, if you are one of them. So, if that is the case, the question then is, why am I not getting answers to my prayers? There are many Christians who are frustrated today, not because of anything other than the fact that their prayers are not being answered. When you ask and you don't seem to see anything, it would appear that maybe you are a sinner or something has gone wrong. Many Christians have lost their joy and as a result have lost everything called Christianity. And so the Lord gave us 21 reasons why prayers are not answered. So far we've been able to deal with 6. I'll just run through those 6 and see if we can take another 6 today. If not, we'll just stop wherever we can stop. So I'll run through the first 6 that we've looked at. The first one, in Genesis chapter 21 verse 1 to 2, Genesis 21 verse 1 to 2, the Bible tells us that Sarah, Abraham's wife, conceived and bore a son in her old age. She was now 90 when that boy was born. But the Bible put a very clear distinction. At the set time. At the set time. So there's a set time for everything. The fact that you are asking for something and you've not received the answer or it has not been manifest could just mean that it's not the set time for it. I don't know of anybody here who is a father, a parent, who would buy a car for a 12-year-old boy and put him at the steering wheel. Even if the car has been bought, you are still going to wait for that child to mature, to do some studies, go for driving lessons, act responsibly at home before you give him the key to the car. So there are some things that you are asking God for. You are not mature for them yet. You have to wait for the set time. It's so sad. We live in a generation of impatient people. We live in a generation where people cannot wait. Do you know that young men are growing gray hair now? It is so bad they can't even wait to grow gray hair. They want to grow gray hair and start using dye at 30-something. There's a set time for everything. And at the set time, God makes all things beautiful. Everything fits in at the set time. But when you hasten it, when you are impatient and it's not the set time, you start forcing things on your own. You are working for it. So understand that it's set time. And that is possibly one of the reasons why you're not getting answers to your prayers. The second reason is found in James chapter 4, verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. I'm going to consider on verse 3 alone. Where it says, "Ye ask and receive not." Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may spend it on your pleasures. Today, in many of our churches, the messages we hear is about you can get this, you can get that, you can get this. We have designed for people a utilitarian God. A God that is just there to meet your needs, regardless of your next door neighbor. God doesn't work that way. God is mindful of every other human being, Christian or not, that he has made on the earth. So in answering your prayers, he is going to answer your prayer in the context of the people around you. So you cannot expect God to meet your needs that is going to become a problem to another person. For example, my wife told me today, "Oh, I pray that it doesn't rain. Because when it rains, this place can be a little bit messy." And I said to my wife, I said, "Well, Father, as long as you have not promised somebody rain, and then we are now saying you should not give him that promise, no problem. But if it is your will that it doesn't rain, so be it." That is the attitude of a Christian. You cannot do something that will be detrimental to someone else. I remember as a young believer, we had a crusade, and then it began to rain, and people were getting upset. And the guest minister who came said, "Why are you getting upset?" They said, "Oh, because we pray that God should not let the rain fall." And the guy said, "But this is rainy season." That's number one. Number two, there are farmers who depend on this particular rain. So because you are having a program, the farmer should not be fed. The Bible says that God causes the rain to fall on the farm of both the good and the evil. That is the God we are talking about. Let's not turn God into a one-sided God, into a selfish God, into a God that focuses only on you and not on any other person. The image God wants you to give to the world is that it's a God who cares for all. But right now people are so removed from our God because we have taken our God as our own. In fact, it's so bad that if you go to some churches, they will tell you that God is not in any other church but this church. I've seen it on some billboards. God always attends our prayers. Or God always attends our worship services. I doubt that very much. If you have to publicize it, I really doubt that very much. We are asking amiss. We are asking to consume things on our pleasure. Praise the name of the Lord. So that is probably one other reason. God is more interested in you asking things that will be pleasurable to Him rather than to you. Number three reason that we gave is found in John chapter 15 verse 7. John 15 verse 7 that tells us that except we abide in Him and His word abide in us, we will not be able to ask and things be done. I read it. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. There is no way you can abide, because he uses the imagery of a vine. There is no way you can be a part of a vine and the life or the sap, because the sap of a tree or vine is the life of that vine. And the life of that vine not pass through its branches. Now, if the life of the vine is passing through its branches, then the desire of the vine will be the desire of the vine. So you cannot be asking something that is not the desire of God if you are truly in the vine. The Bible makes it clear that if we abide in the vine and His word abides in us, His life blood abides in us, then we will ask what we desire, which is actually His will, and He will do it. Perhaps you are not abiding in the vine. I know there are many churches these days that just say, come for prayers. It doesn't matter. My brother, my sister, it matters. If you are not born again, if you are not walking righteously, your prayer, the Bible says the prayer of a sinner is abomination to God. I mean, that's the truth. The only prayer that a sinner can pray that God will hear is, save my soul. So if you are not born again today, that is your prayer point. Save my soul. That's all. And God will hear that prayer. But to be asking for something when that has not been met, you're wasting your time. I gave an illustration to someone some time back. And I'm going to give the illustration again. I have a car, one or two cars out here. And let's say somebody walks into this compound and says, sir, I need to pay my school fees. And it's difficult. But sir, if you don't mind, I can wash your car for you. And then whatever you want to give me to meet my needs, sir, I will do it. I say, okay, go ahead and wash right now. And then maybe he's washing some other cars along the street. And then my son comes and says, dad, why are you paying that man for washing your car? I can wash too and get paid. And then he now wants to wash the car and get paid. Something is wrong with him. Number one, his school fees is not dependent on washing cars. His maintenance in this house is not dependent on washing cars. That man who came to wash cars needed it. So there are people who come to church to clean the church because they want some help from God. Without a relationship with God, God will still help them. But it doesn't mean they have a relationship with God. Some people cannot ask certain things and it will be done for them. What they want is just to meet what one or two ends meet. Yes, those ends will be met. And so we must never confuse issues. The needs of the child of God is always met. I want you to understand that. There's a difference between a need and a want. We're not talking of your desire. We're talking of the need. A child needs to go to school. Is that not so? The school fees of that child is met by the father. The father cannot tell the child, go and walk, go and wash my car. Otherwise, I won't pay your school fees. That's an irresponsible father. God is not irresponsible. So, when we serve in the house of God, we serve because we love God. We don't serve because we want God to do something for us. Many of us have a so warped an image. Sadly, because many people who are speaking to us themselves have a warped image of God. By the grace of God, that image will be corrected in your heart in Jesus' name. Yeah. I want you to note one thing, that when we talk about abiding in the vine, we're not talking of a visitation. I'm sure you have heard of things like divine visitation, where people go to talk, God, I want God to visit me today. God visit me. Say, pray that God will visit you today. I want you to know that God is not interested in visitation. God wants to make you a habitation. God wants to indwell you. He's tired of people coming to visit or people asking Him to come and visit. If God were living in your house today, let me tell you something. Do you know many things you are doing in your house you won't do? Many things inside that house cannot be there. Those sneaky bottles of brandy that you are sneaking under, it cannot be in that house. I hope you know that. Those pornographic things they are bringing up, it can't be there. But if he's visiting, you can quickly lock them up in a cupboard, entertain him in the sitting room, and say bye-bye to him. God is tired of visits. He wants to live in you. And if he's coming to live in you, he wants somebody who is pure in heart. He doesn't want somebody who's hiding anything. Number four, we have not even started what we want to do today, but let's see how far we can go here. Number four, in the same John chapter 15, verse 16, the Bible makes it clear. God, the Lord Jesus speaking, says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." In other words, God wants you to be a fruit bearer. Every fruit bearer has his prayers answered. There are two kinds of fruit we're talking about here. There's internal and external. Internal fruit is about character, the nature of God, holiness, righteousness, humility, love, and so on and so forth. What we call the fruit of the Spirit. That's internal fruit. And then there's external fruit. External fruit is about the fruit, what we call the fruit of souls. Soul winning, going to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we have specialized in the church in is going to look for souls. And it's not so much as the fruit of the soul, but just getting numbers into our churches. Whereas, what God is particularly about is the character, the nature of God in you. If I bring somebody to church today, and I begin to act in an ungodly manner, that man is going to leave the church. Or, he will still remain in church and act as ungodly as I'm acting. That's not what God is interested in. God is interested in people who are godly, bringing in unrighteous people, and making them to see them as an example, and living in a godly manner. When that is your case, you will pray and God will answer you. That is not your case. Maybe that's why you're having challenges with God answering your prayers. Praise the name of the Lord. Number five, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 36. I want to rush this as much as possible. The Bible tells us that there was a time when we endured, especially many of us when we got born again anew. We gave up friends, we gave up so many things for God. But as time went by, what happened? We let go of our confidence in God. And we held on to alternatives. And God is saying to you that he cannot hear your prayers. You're not getting answers to your prayers because you're unable to endure the weight for God. Many of us are unable to endure the weight. The Bible says, after you have done the will of God, you need what? Patience. That you might inherit the promise. But many of us are unable to endure the weight. And so we seek alternatives. Many, many brothers and sisters alike have gotten married to people they had no business marrying to. Because they couldn't endure. And now they have marital challenges. And they won't allow pastors sleep again. Wake the pastors up at 12 midnight. And she has started though. She has started, pastor. She has started. Her hand is on my throat now. Anything I do. His sin is on speaker. Anything I do. You see the woman come to church. Her eyes are blue. She will black and blue. She will wear dark shades. They say it's fashion. It's a lie. She's hiding something. She's been beaten by the husband. And they say, why? They say, pastor, when I married him, I thought he was a godly man. You thought. You don't marry based on thoughts. You have to be sure. You have to talk to God. Let me tell you something. Unless you are living a life of fornication, you cannot know if the man or woman snores in her sleep. I'm sure you know that. There are many things you cannot tell about that person. So the only person that can tell you about that person is God. So when you start acting on what you see to marry, you are in trouble. Because the next time you are in, I'm sure these ones, they would be able to tell us one or two things now. Initially, you would think that you got married to the witch, the head of the witches in her village. Or she got married to the head of the Ogbonis in his own village. But no, you're two different people, coming from two different backgrounds. Whether you're born again or not, is not the issue here. And to make two, to become one, is not an easy thing. To fit a head in a body that is different, you need a lot of construction to put it. It takes God to do that. And so when we cannot wait, and we start seeking out our own alternatives, you create a problem that you had no business creating in the first place. And you can't resolve it. So that is one of the reasons why many of us are not having our prayers answered. Because we already have alternatives. If, for example, I come to church and say, I want to ask God for a car. By the way, many of us don't pray at home. We believe church is the place of prayer. Sorry, church is not the place of prayer. Church is what we are doing as what church is. We come and tell you what you are doing wrong so that you can correct it and go back and put it to practice. Church is not the place for audience. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to speak the word of God to you. So when you come to church, you are here to hear what you have been doing wrong from Monday to Saturday. So that you go back after this meeting, after you have finished the eating, don't allow the eating to becloud what you have heard. And then you go and put it to practice. That's what makes you a Christian. That's what the church is here for. So many of you don't pray in church. You come to pray at home. You come to pray in church. And then so you come with your prayer list when you come to church. This church, no power. This one, no get power. Maybe you've gone to church now this morning. And thank God there's one meeting they have to say, thank God. I have double anointing. You know, everybody says, na double double. Say, God, na double double today. So he has met, he has prayed there. Say, I'm going to intensify the prayer in this other place. The truth of the matter is, you cannot come to God with an idol in your heart. I expect God to answer. That brings us to point number 6. Ezekiel 14. In Ezekiel 14 verse 1 to 11. Ezekiel 14, 1 to 11. God said, when some elders gathered before Ezekiel, to meet with him and to come and ask some questions from God. They wanted him to ask God about certain things. God said to Ezekiel, are they asking me to speak to them? They set up an idol in their hearts and then they come and ask me and I'm going to answer them. Tell them that if I ever answer them, either myself or by a prophet, it will be according to the idol that is inside their hearts. So a girl comes to God. He said, Lord, you know I need a husband. And that Bobo with his brand new BMW is the choice. Just answer me whether he's the one or not. God will say, yes, go and marry him. Because you came with an idol. You didn't come to ask God. Lord, who? You came with a list. I've heard many teachings that say, decide, tell God the quality of the man. That is false prophecy. I beg you. I don't care who is teaching it. It's wrong. It's not scriptural. It doesn't exist in the Bible. We have the example of Esther in Esther chapter 2 verse 12 to 14. Or so I think 12 to 17. The Bible tells us about Esther. That when King Ahasuerus was going to choose a wife, and many of the ladies came, they had to ask for certain things. Each one asked for certain things. When it was the turn of Esther, Esther did not ask for anything. She just asked the eunuch that was taking care of her and said, whatever you give me is okay. We have such a eunuch, by the way, is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we don't know how we should pray as we ought to. But if we ask anything through the Spirit of God, he will pray according to the will of God for us. So many of us already have idols in our hearts before we come to ask God. Now we move on to new grounds for those who have been here. Number 7, according to James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, James 1, 5 and 6, and I'm going to read. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and to be given to him. But let him ask how? In faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Many of us ask doubting. What does it mean to ask doubting? You'll be amazed. How many of us ask, Lord, is this your will? Are you sure it's your will? Are you sure it's your will? Do you even know if it's the will of God? You need to know whether it's the will of God or not. You need to be sure, resolved about it. What does it mean to ask in faith? It means to ask, trusting God, that God is able to do what you have asked. And if he will not do, that's a different matter. Put up something for us, Moses. Matthew chapter 8, let's look at verse 1 to 3, please. Matthew 8, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to read from there. It says, when he was come, as Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Jesus, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, not that, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What was the issue with that question here? He didn't ask the way we ask. When we go to God, what do we say? If thou canst, thou wilt. The man says, no. If thou wilt, thou canst. What's the difference? The man was more interested in, is this thing I'm asking the will of God? He didn't doubt the ability of God. Say, thou can, you can do it. I'm not doubting your ability. The question I have for you is, do you want to do it? Now, this is what we do when we go and ask God. Can you do it? If you can, I know you will. That by itself is a doubt. That by itself is a disrespectful statement. There is nothing that God cannot do. I mean, absolutely nothing. Mention it, he can do it. Now, whether he will do it is a different matter. For example, let me use this because I know many people like this one, but I'm going to puncture a hole later. For example, it is possible for God to give everybody in this room today, I'm not saying tomorrow, today, to walk away with here. And I want to call an outrageous amount of money, $1 million. I'm not talking of naira, $1 million each today. So I'm about to puncture that now. It is possible for God to do it. Do you understand? The question is, will he? It is not, I don't doubt the ability of God. Is it his will? For example, why do you want $1 million to spend on your pleasure? Some of you will, you touch $1 million now, no pastor can talk to you. You touch $1 million now, that's when you find that in the Bible that tithing is an Old Testament doctrine. You find, when you get that $1 million now, you'll be asking for the exchange rate to pay your tithe. And you look for the lowest exchange rate. And then pray that after you have paid the tithe, the exchange rate will go up again. What kind of human beings are we talking about? God can do it, but he just doesn't do it for sure. If God answered some of your prayers, many of you would not be sitting here today. By now, some of you will be dead. And I mean dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. And buried. A lot of times it takes 5 to 10 years to realize and for you to say, thank God you didn't answer this thing. But at that time you were angry with God. Why is he not answering? Is he not the God of the whole earth? You don't trust him. If your father refuses to do something, is it because your father hates you? It's actually because he loves you. Many of us have taken denial to mean something else. So a lot of times we don't ask trusting God. We don't ask in faith. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. Matthew 21, 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you. I think the Old King James should say verily, verily, right? Is that what it says? Or verily?
Yes,
verily. It says, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. Let's read it together, please. Let's read from the board. Jesus answered and said to them, and the last one, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, doing what? Believing. Let me tell you something about faith. Because I hear, just like we have cheap grace, we also have cheap faith. We have a faith that believes to receive. We don't have a faith that believes the giver. A man carried fruits on a wheelbarrow. There's this gorge between Canada and America. And this man used the wheelbarrow on a rope and wheeled from the end of Canada to the American end on that rope. And people were cheering. And then he said, do you believe that I can put a man on this wheelbarrow and cross back? They said, yes, yes. One man who shouted the loudest said, do you believe? The man said, yes, I believe. He said, come and enter the wheelbarrow. The man said, please, sir. Do you see where faith is now? It is easy for many of us to shout, yes, 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 in church. Or you enter the wheelbarrow of faith. You can't. Let me tell you something about faith. It's not easy. You're believing God for 10 naira. You see people who can give you 1,000 naira and they won't even flinch. They will tell you they can't give you 10 naira. What do you think God is trying to teach you? That you can't depend on a man. When you say you depend on me and me alone. Many of you don't understand what faith is. You just hear somebody talking about faith. Faith to receive. Do you have faith in the giver? How do you come to me? Let's assume somebody says, that man said, God, give us $1 million each. Then after the service, you come and say, Pastor, I never get my $1 million. Am I the giver? You are going to the wrong man. A lot of us go to churches because we say, that man gets anointing. In anointing, they bring things. Some of you are following some juju men. They are not saying they are not men. They are men of God, but they are some juju men. And that's why you see people rushing to all kinds of places. They're looking for something that God is not ready to. You cannot be living in sin. Let me tell you this. And then you say God should give you something. What? There's what God gives to everybody. And there's what God does not give to everybody. Just like I gave the illustration of the man who wants to wash my car and collect some money. I can give him that money. But am I going to tell him and say, come, let me pay your school fees from start to finish? I don't have a relationship with him. So there are some things that you enjoy. The breath, the very fact that you are alive today is God's grace. Whether you are born again or not, whether you are living as a sinner or not, it is the grace of God that you are breathing. But when we come to some very serious issues, like I want to travel to America, for what? Lord, I just want you to give me a visa, for what? You want to travel there, for what? I troll the Facebook and social media, and I read a lot of write-ups, writings, if I may call them, rantings of Christians. And I'm wondering, are these Christians? Are these people of God? You see even some of the photographs they paste, and you wonder, is this an advert or what? What is it about? There's no faith. The Lord Jesus asked in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, he said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith? If you ask whatsoever, believing. Who are you believing now? The one who will answer. Not necessarily that thing. You can believe that thing will happen, but also believe the one who's going to. Let me tell you a brief story concerning this matter. A young boy was going to school. He was a toddler. His father, they had Bible study that morning, and the father had preached from this scripture. And so as they were going to school, the boy, there was this mountainous area that didn't allow people to see the sea from as they walked on the road. So as he was walking with his friends, he stopped. The friend stopped. He looked in the direction of the mountain and said, O mountain, I command you, be thou uprooted and be thou cast into the sea. And then he turned to go and they laughed. I said, what are you doing? He said, my father said that if I say anything, believing that God can do it, God will do it. So they went to school. At about 10 a.m., they heard some bombings and blastings. They didn't know what happened. Then they returned at 2 o'clock to go home. The boy had passed the place.
He just knows that nobody was following him again. His friends stood. They were shocked. When they turned, there was no mountain there. It had been cleared. What happened? That morning, after that boy said that thing, at 9 a.m., the city engineer, the city mayor called the city engineer and said, that mountain is blocking the view. I want you to take dynamite, blast it, and get a tractor and push it into the sea so that the whole place can be open. And it must be done before 2 o'clock today. I don't think you know the God that we serve. That boy didn't understand it, but he applied it. So when his friends looked and said, come, have you seen? He said, did I not tell you that my father said, if I believe and I ask, it shall be done. That day, all his friends became Christians. That's the God we are talking about. It's not to answer your prayer so that you can blast it on your pleasures. It's to answer your prayer so that you can bring many to God. Do we have such a testimony that I can say, I prayed in the presence of unbelievers. They laughed at me. They mocked me that day. But when God answered it, they all came. I remember when I got born again, I know the number of people who said, if this fellow can be born again, there's something in being born again. Because we were madmen. I see many people say they are mad. They are not mad. They are normal. We were really crazy human beings. Did some horrible things that we shouldn't even mention. But this God saved our souls. And many people saw us and said, this man can change. Then God can change somebody else. And he began to change people. In the St. James chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, we see another reason, an eighth reason. It says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is what? A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Many of us are double-minded. We are oscillating between opinions. Even after prayer, a man prays for, let me use an example, for accommodation. He has finished praying. He prayed to God, not to a man. When he prayed, he believed. But then he left the prayer place. How will God answer this thing? And God answered this thing. He can't answer. Do you see what is happening now? He's double-minded. He prays with faith one way, thinks out of faith another way. He said, that man should not expect to get anything from God. When you pray, resolve in your heart that this matter that I prayed about, it will come to pass. It may take time. It will come to pass. I mentioned, I think, at the beginning of our talk here, that one of the virtues that we lack in this generation is patience. We don't know how to wait. I remember talking to a couple some years ago. Oh, we don't have children. Pastor, it's a shame. It's a disgrace. I said, by the way, how many years have you been married? He said, 2 years. This is our second. We are just about to enter our second year. I said, keep quiet. Quiet. Are you making noise about? He said, Pastor, it doesn't sound like that. It may happen to other people. But I said, keep quiet. Because you're a baby, God will answer you. Don't worry. Go. God has answered you. The following year, the fellow put to bed. But is that faith? They were already having a double-minded. They were already of double minds. Some people have confessed sins they didn't commit because they think God is not answering them because of a sin. Let me inform you, if you are saved, you are born again. Every sin you committed, till that date you got born again, God says it is wiped out. He doesn't even remember it. So when you mention it, he said, please check. By the way, if you are born again, your name, you don't have books. Your name is written in a book. If you are not born again, there are books, files of your deeds. Piled up. The man who is born again, you know what he does? Once he's born again, they grab that file and throw it into the fire. Everything he did doesn't exist. If he killed a man, it doesn't exist. If she committed abortion, 10,000 abortions, it doesn't exist. He's wiped out. His name is in the book of life. So let's stop reminding God of things that we did that he has forgotten. It is Satan that makes you remember those things. And if it keeps coming up as a memory, then go and talk to your pastor. Maybe what you need is to do some restitution. And he should be able to guide you on how to restitute your ways. And that matter ends there and then. But that you keep digging up something that happened long ago. No. That's why we are so double-minded. Maybe that thing. You know, some people, some women are unable to give birth. They say, maybe because I committed an abortion. I have seen prostitutes. I don't know anybody who commits abortion more than prostitutes. They get married and they have children. Abi? And they're not born again. Can I say something about this matter of childbearing? By the way, any woman who waits long before giving birth, that child is a child of destiny. There's a reason for it. There's a timing about that child. That child couldn't have come at any other time. And God wants that child to come in a home of faith, not in a home where people are making noise. And if those parents stood with God in faith, not the faith that many of us have today. After some time, we get weary. We go and do IVF. We say, that God doesn't give IVF to them, by the way. So Lord, don't let any pastor come and tell the pastor to call me, that I will tell him that God doesn't give IVF children. It's not scriptural. If God wants to give a child, I mean, sometimes we don't sit back and imagine. Sarah was 90 years old. Can somebody tell me how a 90-year-old woman pushed a baby? The Bible says God gave her power to not only conceive seed, but to bring forth the child. Many of you young girls can't even give birth naturally. You always to be induced and to be opened up so that the baby can come out freely. But a 90-year-old woman pushed the baby out because she bore that child by faith. Enough of the double mind. Let's go to God. Resolute. You are God. There's nothing you cannot do. If it is not happening, it is only because it is not time. And it is not because you hate me. Because I know you love me. You didn't save me to come and dump me in a dunghill. You saved me to be with you in heaven. You have my interest at heart.
A young lady was being escorted on her wedding day to be executed. They didn't allow her to marry. She was wearing her white. And they were taking her to execution ground.
And people were saying, oh. The lady was saying, Lord Jesus, I knew you loved me so much. You wouldn't let a man touch me. She was executed. But she knew who she called God.
The three Hebrew kids stood before Nebuchadnezzar and said, O king, we are not careful to answer you on this matter. The God whom we serve, he will deliver us. But peradventure, he doesn't deliver. I want you to know, we are not bowing to your idol. Do we have people who are resolute today? Or we just have double-minded people flocking the churches and not having any resolution whatsoever? What is your conviction if you say you are born again? Being born again is based on a conviction of the Spirit of God, not on the whims and caprices of the environment that you live in. I am convinced that if you put me in a hole, God is with me. If you put me in the first class cabin of an airplane, God is with me. Put me anywhere, God is with me. I cannot die before my time. If it were possible, I would have been dead long ago. Do you know that Satan would have killed me last night?
Because many of you are hearing something you never heard before. And he doesn't want you to hear it. But he can't. Because there's a power greater than.
And I live with that power. Yeah. That power is in me. And I'm in that power.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what to say to you. There is a sweetness and a joy in being in God than having something from God.
When you are in God, everything you need is needs. Your prayers are different from those who are not in God. Start chasing after God and your life will change. In Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 to 2, that's number 9, reason, and we're going to read that. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 to 2, or 1 and 2. The Bible says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands, let me stop there. What is this saying? It says, God is so powerful, he can do anything. Then why is he not doing it? He says, the reason is your sin. I'm going to make a statement here. An unconfessed sin is an unforgiven sin. The moment you confess that sin, it is forgiven. But your refusal to confess it, it stays unforgiven. And if it is unforgiven, then you are still a sinner. Because as much as you have forgotten the sin is still very much alive before God. Even if it is a 50-year-old sin, it is very much alive. Because it has not been confessed. Confession of sin kills sin. Sin hates exposure. Remember those days, not now, those days, the older people will understand this. How many of you remember the days of Kodak camera with film? I'm not facing the young people, the old people. Do you understand? You remember that time? And the cameraman used to protect that film. It must not see light. Otherwise, you damage the whole scene. So they develop it where? In the dark room. That is sin. Sin is always developed and nurtured in a dark room. It hates light. Open sin to light, the whole film is dead. It dies. That's why confession of sin is a powerful tool that Satan uses to oppress people if they don't know how to do it. Satan will come and tell you, if you confess that sin, people will just laugh at you. People will be ashamed of you. They say, if you go out on the altar, people will just be laughing at you. Let me tell you a story. I think we can't go far. We'll stop here. Let me tell you a story. A young man went to work in a paint factory. And one day, he was broke. So he went to the store and picked a paint bucket, stole it, and went to sell and enjoyed his weekend. He came back on Monday. The foreman saw him and said, my brother, come. How was your weekend? Weekend was sweet. He enjoyed it. He said, yes, I enjoyed it. How did you get money? He said, oh God, don't worry. God was faithful. Then the foreman said to him, I saw you stealing that paint bucket. No report, I beg, no report. He said, no problem, I won't report. Provided you do whatever I tell you to do. And the guy accepted. He said, no problem. From that day, for 3 years of his life, he was working overtime. And the supervisor was collecting the overtime money. He was working for free, even though he was working overtime. One day, the man sat in his house and said, wait a minute, am I not a fool? They said they will report me. I begged. Then they are giving me work to do. And I'm not even eating from the work. What do we do? Then a thought came to him that, why don't you go and report yourself? So he went to the chairman of the company. He said, Oga, I've come to report myself. The man said, what did you do? He said, Oga, I stole a paint bucket. Things were tight for me and I stole a paint bucket. Would you steal paint bucket? You should have come to me and asked for me. Anyway, when was this? He said, 3 years ago. The man said, 3 years ago, we have covered that under, what they call that now? Doubtful debts, stolen items, that the matter has been taken care of.
The boy said, sir.
He said, your matter has been taken care of, but don't do it again, no?
He said, thank you, sir.
He said, thank you, sir. And so he left. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, thank you, sir, to the MD, or the chairman. And then he left. When he left and got back to the factory floor, the supervisor reminded him that he shouldn't forget to, that he's on overtime duty today. What do you think the boy told the manager? I'm asking, what do you think? If you were the boy, what would you have said to him? It's not working day. The boy told the supervisor, guy, I know that my name is on overtime, that you are the one who is going to do that job today. He said, I'm going to report. I don't report myself. Praise the name of the Lord. When you have unconfessed sin, you open the door to Satan. And Satan will give you overtime to do. And you will never enjoy that overtime. One day. You'll be laboring for Satan. You never enjoy it. But the day you report yourself to God, we think God will kill us. God doesn't kill. God actually forgives. Because you came to report yourself. The world judicial system does not understand that. Doesn't understand mercy. Because that's why lawyers, thank God there's a lawyer friend of mine here. That's why lawyers will encourage you to plead not guilty. Because, and then they'll say, we now prove that you're not guilty. We have to prove it. Because if you plead guilty, the law is applied strictly. You are guilty 10 years. And the judge will tell you, I could have given you less, but I am not permitted under the written law to give you less. That's the world judicial system. But heaven's judicial system is completely different. You plead to God that I'm guilty, God will say you are forgiven. But you say, I'm not guilty. I have a lawyer. You carry the lawyer. By the time they finish with you, you'll be guilty. The Bible says we have an advocate. It's Jesus Christ. When you have sinned, you go to the chambers of Jesus Christ and co, solicitors and advocates. When you go there, I say, oh God, I have a problem. There's a case that has been brought before you, before the judge by, what's it called? The chief prosecutor. His name is Lucifer Satan. They say, okay, so what is the matter? Tell us the matter. He said, can I trust you, the chief solicitor in the chief advocate in Jesus Christ and co, will say to you, just tell me all. He said, but if I tell you all, I hope you are not going to tell the judge the thing that I did. He said, just tell me. Once you tell him, you know what he says to you? He says, when we get to court, plead guilty. He says, sir, say plead guilty. Don't waste your time. Don't give an excuse. Just plead guilty. If you trust him, when you get to court, you plead guilty. When you now plead guilty, you know what Jesus Christ does in the court of heaven? He stands and opens his hands. He said, do you see the pierced hands? And the pierced feet and the blood that flowed, it was for him also. You know what the judge does? Not guilty. Just as if he did nothing. Justified. From that time on, that man's prayer is heard. But if you are living in sin and not confessing it, then you put yourself in a very terrible condition. Let me read a scripture and I think we can stop here. I read two scriptures. Sorry. The first one I want to read is Psalm 66 verse 18. Psalm 66 verse 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not. He will not. He will not. There's nothing you can do about it. God is not going to hear you. You can try to wriggle it. You can try to do this, try to do that. But God's not going to hear you. The second, second scripture. Psalm 32 from verse 1 to verse 5. In fact, we'll take it to 6 and 7 or thereabout. But let's just, don't worry, just stop on 1 to 5 first. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is what? Covered. That is, sin is killed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You see, you cannot play deception with God. He knows where you are. He knows what you have done. There is nothing you are going to say to God today that will embarrass God, because he saw you when you were doing it. He's just waiting for you to come and say, I'm sorry. That's all. Now, let's look at the man who wrote this, David, in verse 3. He said, when I kept what? Silent. What happened to his bones? My bones grew old through my groaning. Oh, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. He was dying. Do you know that many of the diseases that we are carrying, we had no business carrying it if we but confessed. Syphilis is because people are not confessing. HIV, all those things that we are doing. You went to be sleeping with prostitutes and you caught it. Should have told God. But they did. They refused to. And what has the world given us? Retroviral drugs. So we can take the drugs. But it's still there. It continues. It doesn't go. It's still there. Now there's the new one called Zika virus. Don't worry. They are lying to us that it's mosquito that caused it. But they are getting back to the truth. It's a sexually transmitted disease. It's no mosquito anywhere. Mosquito has been biting us in Africa for long. Their vitality died. Look at verse 5. He said, I acknowledge what? My sin to who? To God. I'm not saying acknowledge it to me. Acknowledge to God. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. and you forgave the iniquity of my... If only we understood how easy it is to receive forgiveness. In Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, the Bible says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Let's bow our heads. There are many of us here today who are believing God for one thing or the other. Believing God for one prayer answer or the other. And yet, we are living in sin. And yet, there is unconfessed sin in our lives. I'm not asking you to tell me what that sin is. It's not my business. It doesn't concern me. I'm telling you to talk to your maker, the one who made you, the one who knows what you did, the one that is not embarrassed by what you say, the one who hears it and throws it away and forgets it. If you tell me, I will not forget it. It will still be there in my ears. But if you tell him, he will forget it and he will throw it away. Talk to God. Talk to God. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus yet, your sin is the fact that you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so that is what you should be doing now. You should say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess you as Lord and as Savior. And I want you to save my soul. I want you to meet me at the point of need, the point of need of salvation. No deception, truthfulness, holiness, righteousness before you, Lord. You are a righteous judge. I have heard that if I confess my sin, it is like the exposing a film. It destroys that film. I don't want that film developed in any dark place, Lord. I want it exposed, open, between you and I. I have sinned. I have done this. I have done that. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Hear my prayers. Some of you are double-minded. Talk to God. I've been double-minded. I want to be single-hearted. I've been doubting you. I want to begin to trust you. I want to begin to open myself up to you, Lord, that you might have your way in my life. Talk to the Almighty God. If you are here, you're not born again, or you're backsliding, and you have actually spoken to God about the matter, that you are a sinner, and that you want him as your Savior, I want you to do something for me. While all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, I want you to just raise up your right hand above your head, where I alone can see, and then I'll pray for you. You are not born again, or you are backsliding, you've been living in sin, even after you gave your life to Christ. And now, today, you have returned to God. Even as we're praying here, you know in your heart that God has heard you as you spoke to God and you want me to pray with you. Just raise up your hand. Up, I will see it. God bless you. I see that hand. Raise it up a while, just a while. Is there any other person here who said that prayer? Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I want you to forgive my sins. I want you to reach out and just reach me today, wherever I am. Is there any other person here today? Because I want to pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand. Raise it up. Just keep it up. Keep it up for a while. Is there any other person here? Any other person here? Okay, those of you raising up your hand, put your hands down. I've seen those hands already. Is there any other person who is saying, Pastor, I would like you to pray for me along with these other people? Just raise up your hand. Up. Okay, I've seen those two hands. Is there any other person here? No other person. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Those of you who raised up your hands, I want you to stand on your feet and say a particular prayer. Just stand on your feet. Where's the second fellow? Stand on your feet. And I want you to talk. Okay, I didn't see the other hand. Stand. Just talk to God in your own language. Tell him, wash me in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me totally and completely. Make me whole again. Make me a new person beginning from today. If you want to join them in that prayer, this is the time to stand up and join them. Don't come afterwards. This is the time to stand up and join them in that prayer. And say, Father, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. It is between you and God, but in the fellowship of the brethren. That's the difference. But it's between you and God. After you've done that, we're going to get the ushers to give you one or two items as we pray for you. Eternal Rock of Ages, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I bring before you these ones who are standing, these ones who have spoken to you in private, and are doing it before the fellowship of the brethren. I pray, Almighty and Everlasting God, that you wipe away all those sins, whatever they may be, for how long they may have been holding. Wipe it away completely, Lord. Make them new again. Let there be a restoration of whatever was lost in the name of Jesus. I pray, Almighty and Everlasting God, that what they have done today, let them not cancel it tomorrow by their inaction or actions in Jesus' name. I pray, Almighty and Everlasting God, that you will cause the Spirit of God to come upon them, even this instant, and begin to remove everything that is not of you in their lives. Make them whole again. Wash them totally and completely. Fill them with your power, with your Spirit. Let there be a detest for sin in them. A hatred for sin in them. A love for righteousness in them. and let your joy overwhelm them even this instant. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those of you who stood up, please, just follow them. They will share with you one or two things. Can the rest of us stand to our feet? We want to pray. First of all, there's a repentance that we need to repent today. Every one of us. Many of us, we only pray in church. We don't pray in the home. So we are going to repent that before God. Say, Father, have mercy on me. I pray only in public. I don't pray in private. Forgive me. Talk to God. Have mercy on me. I want to change. The true meaning of repentance is that after you have confessed, you change. You no longer do that thing again. Tell the Lord that you want to change. You don't want to do it again. You want to be a new man before God. You want the Lord to change you, to change your life, to make you whole again. And then, the next thing we want to do is to ask. Now we know how we should ask and get answers. Now go ahead and ask. Go ahead and ask. Oh, ask, please. If you are asking, ask. 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 The Bible says, ask till your joy is full. Ask. 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 Doubting nothing. No wavering. Ask, brethren. Pray and ask. God wants to answer prayers. But do it right, and He will answer. Let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Eternal Rock of Ages, these ones have asked, and we know that you have heard. We ask Almighty and Everlasting God that you reveal yourself more and more to them. Make yourself known to them. Let them not just see you as a utilitarian God, but a God who desires fellowship, a God who desires relationship. Thank you, Everlasting Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.